In November 2017, the Amaq news agency, which is directly aligned with the so-called Islamic State's operations, announced the first attack in Kashmir by the terror group in which a police officer was killed in Srinagar's Gulbag Bagh area. 3 months later, ISIS has claimed responsibility for a similar incident, this time in the city's Saura area, after Constable Farooq Ahmed Yatu was shot dead in front of a separatist leader Fazal Haq Qureshi's house, reportedly by a freelance militant Isha Fazli, who also had connections with the LET and Hizbul Mujahideen. On the sidelines, Al-Qaeda, not one to be left behind, has also released a threat via social media that it will attack Indian and multinational corporate entities looking to target strategic economic installations. Both ISIS and Al-Qaeda statements have come within a short time of each other, a trend that was also witnessed in November last year. The question of ISIS and Al-Qaeda having a foothold in the valley has no easy answers. It depends on the depth of understanding on the parts of both the central and the state governments in Kashmir, on how both Al-Qaeda in the Indian subcontinent and the ISIS work, represent and function as a global jihadist organization. Firstly, India has had very few cases of pro-ISIS activities as a proportion of its population. Kerala has been a home to most of these cases, but including the southern state, the total official tally is at 100. Since the geographical loss of its caliphate, ISIS has been erratic in its global discourse. It claimed more than once the Las Vegas shooting in 2017, which highlighted its desperation to maintain a losing narrative to sustain its global brand of terror. However, the events in Kashmir, despite the state police confirming the presence of the group, reveal that a broader perspective is required in understanding the workings of ISIS. For a permanent, valid presence, a group operating in Kashmir or anywhere else will have to pledge spiritual allegiance or bayat to the ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, and only his acceptance of the pledge would make that group an official part of the so-called caliphate. For example, the Philippines Abu Sayyaf group pledged the bayat in 2016, which was accepted by the ISIS in a video message released by the Islamic State's Al-Furat news agency. No such event has taken place by any group in Kashmir. Clearly, no group has an official allegiance to the Islamic State, but has a mere ability to claim attacks in its name. With its fall, the ISIS is increasingly taking advantage of the vast global propaganda system it created to keep its validity in place. The Amaq agency and its releases are tracked by every global journalist and analyst following the conflict in the Middle East. For Amaq and all that it releases, true or false, this is the captive audience it has cultivated. Reports quoting the sources at the Home Ministry in New Delhi suggest that Fazli committed the attack and pushed the claim by himself to the news agency, which then released it. This showcases the ease with which a jihadist can now use Amaq and Amaq, a jihadist, to accomplish a common short-term goal in a volatile place like Kashmir. ISIS has a convenient and current brand value in Islamist extremism today, attracting jihadists to not just try and join the group, but to commit acts in its name at home. A strategy actively promoted by ISIS as it lost its self-proclaimed capital Raqqa and control over most of the major cities it had captured. Moreover, for ISIS, Kashmir as both a region and a point of conflict makes very little sense to try and get involved in. From an Islamic State perspective, the fight in Kashmir is seen from the lens of the Kufr and the Pakistani nationalists and patriots who are engaged in battle for land and state, but not the larger radical Islamic thinking towards a global order. In the pro-ISIS narratives written by the current and former fighters, Kashmir is seen as a battleground that the Islamic State is not particularly interested in. The success of ISIS has ruffled the feathers of Al-Qaeda as well. ISIS, of course, is the byproduct of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, which was led by Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, on whose ideas the Islamic State was announced by Baghdadi in 2014. Zarqawi famously shunned Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden to forge his own path to jihad, and since ISIS's success, Al-Qaeda has looked to regain its former strength and status. Slowly, Al-Qaeda in Iraq and Syria has not only rebuilt its influences in places like Syria, but also has gotten a boost by giving backing to outfits such as the Jamaat-ul-Mujahideen Bangladesh. Former Hizbul Mujahideen militant Zakir Musa's announcement by Al-Qaeda as chief of the AQIS or the Al-Qaeda in Iraq and Syria, based in the valley, was part of the Al-Qaeda chief Ayman al-Zawahiri's broad campaign to prepare a resurgence as the ISIS name dwindled. In January, Zawahiri, in an audio statement, labeled Baghdadi a liar and within the jihadist narrative, positioned Al-Qaeda as a more pragmatic group that abstained from targeting civilians. The ideas of both ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Kashmir need a broader understanding of the organizations, their aim and intra-Islamist relations from a global jihad perspective. ISIS's claims that the attacks require deliberation rather than taking them at face value, and Indian agencies and the government alike should look into understanding the processes and strategies of ISIS, which are intensive, manipulative and well organized, and executed at times even better than the counter-terrorism strategies of many states and governments.